Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so very much for this opportunity to be able to share your heart this morning. Lord, I know you have something very specific for us, and I just thank you that you're going to help me to be able to deliver it so that, Lord, we can all receive, including myself. So thank you for this opportunity, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Move that just a tad. There we go. About a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity, I was speaking with one of my friends in California, and as we were talking, she began to tell me about, she's a horse person, I call her, she's our horsey part of our family, and she's always doing things and having fun, and she was telling me about the different things and places she would go, and the opportunities that she would have to share her faith with different individuals. And then she got to talking about how she, if she didn't have an opportunity, how could I make an opportunity? And let me make sure it's you, God, not just me, just trying to talk to everybody about you. And all of a sudden, I started feeling kind of guilty. It's like, I didn't have that, you know, want to just go knock on a door, or if I see you in a grocery store and I don't know who you are, I want to start talking about Jesus. And I thought, there must be something wrong with me, because Jesus is in my heart and I love him very much. And I mean, he's a part of my everyday life. And I mean, he's just there. But why didn't I have that, you know, I've just got to talk to somebody urge? And I just said, when we hung up the phone, I said, God, I am so sorry. What is wrong with me? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, don't feel guilty. It's like, but I don't have that same urge. Don't feel guilty. And as I just kind of went quiet and I said, okay. And it was like the Lord said to my heart, he says, you feed and you water. I'm going, I feed and I water. That's how he kind of talks to me. It's like, let's go to a whole sentence now. let's just expand on this. And so I just began to just go before him. And he gave me this word. And as I began to get it, it was like, and I needed to share it. Because it was like, I wasn't probably not the only one that kind of felt this way. And so I titled it this morning, What Type of Farmer Are You? What Type of Farmer Are You? And I began to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, then if there's different types, and he says, some people prepare the ground. He says, think about it. You like to garden? I says, yeah, I do. He says, what's the first thing you do? Well, what I'm thinking about right now, our ground's a mess. He says, you got to prepare the ground. And then after you get the ground all prepared, then you plant. And then after you plant, you have to water. But not only do you have to water, you have to feed. And then not only after you feed and you make sure that you kind of keep the weeds away as much as possible so the sun can get to the good seed that's growing, and then you do what? Oh, man, that's the fun part. You harvest. And it was like the Lord was saying, Sandy, you're not everything. Believe it or not, you don't have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You aren't everything. I have my body. And this morning, as I was kind of contemplating this word, the Lord gave me a little illustration, just boom, right out of the air. I was just praying, standing there, and just believing God, he's going to do what he's going to do this morning. All of a sudden, the sound that was coming that was so rich and full went, twink, and it wasn't so rich and full, and it was like pastor stopped. And his bass just brings that rich and that fullness. It's like, you always know when you got to stop singing because pastor stopped playing, and it just goes from this big thick to this kind of narrow sound. And it was like the Lord said, and that's my body. Every, you know, the what these young men were doing was great. What he was doing was great. What he was doing was great. When we have singers, that's great. But it takes all of us to make the pure sound that makes the best sound. And it was like, I said, okay, Lord, then how do you want me to share this morning? And he began to give me some thoughts. And one of my first thought was, I teach real estate. That's one of the things I do. And when you teach, you have to test. And I am testophobic. If you look up the word testophobic, if you Google the word testophobic, it's a real word. It means you're afraid to test. And my picture will be right next to the word. If you want to know what testophobic looks like, here I am. I don't like to test, but I have to test people. So I was always apologizing when I'm testing people. I am so sorry I'm doing this to you. But the Lord said, "In when you're testing, Sandy, sometimes the answer is A or B or C or none of the above, or sometimes it's all of the above. And the Lord says, Sandy, some people are all of the above. pastors and all the above. I'm not an all the above. Some are none of the above, and that's what the Lord wanted to talk this morning. We have to be at least a B, or a C, or all of the above. How great that would be, but we can't be a none of the above. So that's where the Lord has us this morning. So he wanted us to kind of contemplate this morning, what are we? You know, we come in and we come to church and we listen and we gather, we put it into us and we feel like we're growing and it feels good. And we do all the stuff we do here in church, and then we leave the body, we leave the building, we leave the presence as we walk out. A lot of us, I'm not going to say we leave the presence because we try and have his presence with us all the time. But we go out into and start doing our thing. And the Lord says, but there's still stuff I want you to do that's still my thing. It isn't just your business out there. He says it's our business. We are working together, Father and you, Jesus, Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. So this morning, I would like to just kind of tear it down and let's take a look at what are the different types of jobs that farmers do? What would your job be? And if you already know what your job is, great. So there are times when a word is given and I'm great. I just like to hear it. Sometimes the word is given, it's like, I really need that. Listen to see if there's something in here for you this morning. Now, first one was the preparer of the ground so that we could plant. The preparer of the ground is an individual who, if you have a friend or a coworker or a family member, and you're just living around them, you are preparing the ground to be able to plant seed by just being the best person that you can be. If they're in the car with you, you're not yelling at somebody to go faster or get out of your way. You know, if they come into your house, you're not yelling and screaming at your kids. You know, you're not downgrading your wife or your husband. You're not taking, you know, not having somebody for lunch that you just listened to at breakfast. But you're living a life that would make people want to be like you. You're preparing ground in them by allowing them to see good ground in you. And once they see good ground in you, and maybe they want to be that good ground that you have, that allows you to plant seed in something that is good ground. So as a planter, I found a parable in Matthew 13. And in verse 3, it says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, meaning a sower as a person who is going to plant seeds. A seed planter is going out to plant seeds. And as he planted seeds, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, 100-fold, 60, and some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And if you go down to verse 18, a parable is explained, and it is explained this way. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, number one, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Number two, but he who received the seed in stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet there is no root in himself, but endures just for a little while, and after a bit he'll immediately stumble. Number three, now he who receives seeds among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But, number four, he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, produces 100-fold, 60, and 30. So the Lord put on my heart, he says, for us, for those that are planters, for those that have helped to prepare ground, the key is not to just throw seed to the wind, and just as it hits, just know they're fine. I planted my seed, now I can go about my business. I've done my thing. No, a person who plants seed, if you are a seed planter, you have a responsibility. Pastor, every week, plants seed into us. And he knows that responsibility because we come back again and he's sowing and he's sowing and he's sowing. Us as individuals out in the world, working with coworkers and friends and our family members, if we feel like our job is to plant seed, to literally, like my friend, who that was, her job was to plant seed. She looked for people to plant seeds in. She looked for individuals that she could talk to and really give her heart and share, and not just share, but to follow up. And the key was the follow-up. It wasn't that she was just going to plant, but then she got their names, and then she followed up. You can't just plant a seed and walk away and the seed just be the seed it's supposed to be. If we had kids, a lot of us have had kids. You have a kid. Now, that kid, you don't just feed it and just let it go its merry way. It's like, no, you live here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to educate you. I'm going to make sure you know right from wrong. That is the way we need to be feeling about the seed that we plant in people's lives. That's what is called a mentor. A mentor is an individual who will plant seeds and then take the person by the hand and not just let them just, you know, just go and do whatever, but follow up. How are you doing? How is your life going for you? I mean, what is happening? Let's just chat. Let's just talk. There was a time several years back now, where I was mentoring two individuals, and we met once a week. Both individuals, we made an opportunity, and it was like a two-year window of time that I put into these people. I sowed into their lives. I gave into their lives. And that was something that the Lord had me do. I'm not actually doing that right now. But the Lord had me do it then. That was my job at that time. Am I a bad person for not doing it? No, not now, because I'm doing something else. Somebody else is doing that job. But somebody is doing that job. So there are planters, those that make sure the ground is good and then put seed in. And if you are a planter, then you have to come along beside them and not just allow them to just go out into the wind. It says here, if he received in stony places, he immediately receives it with joy. I was listening to one of my pastor friends the other day, and they used to have, they still do, a play called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. And the first time we had it at the church, I was going there. We would have as much as 1,000 people at the altar. And that is not an exaggeration. I've got video to prove it. We even made a video on that just to prove what happened for 3 months in that church. They were breaking the pews down. They had to go in and reinforce the pews. This place held about 2,700 people, and they'd have 3,300 because they would sit in the front on the floor. They would literally put little lines on, and they could sit on the floor so they'd get more people in. They'd open the doors. They would run in the place. I mean, it was that kind of thing. But what he said, I heard him because he has a TV program, and I listened to him. And he said something that kind of struck me. It was like, oh, my gosh. He says, and this is what he said. He says, I know there are thousands upon thousands of people that got saved during that time. But he says, I also know that there are many, many, many of those that aren't saved today. Because they came from all over the state to this, because it was like a phenomenon at that time. And people came and they got saved. But where did they go after that? And a lot of them heard it. They had joy. But when tribulation came, where was their roots weren't deep enough. And it was a good thing to do, and he wasn't sorry that he did it. We were all a part of it, and we were glad we did it. But, man, we did the best we could with the follow-up. We had a lot of churches in the area, and we would give out we had them fill out these papers, and then pastor would make sure those papers went out to the different churches in the area. But it was awfully hard to follow up. So as individuals who plant, we have to be aware. People can get all excited and yay, yay, amen, this is great, I want to be that. But as soon as something bad happens to them and their roots are not strong, they can stumble and fall. As planters, we have a responsibility to follow up with the people that we plant into their lives. Because if we don't and they stumble and they fall, the Lord's going to say, excuse me, but you planted that seed. Now, what have you done with the seed that was planted? Have you helped them? Are they stumbling and they're falling? Are you helping them? And if the Lord's making you a seed planter, he also wants you to learn how to take care of the body. Okay. Seed planter. Next, those that literally water and those that feed the seed. The first one, the waterer, I call it sharing our faith or pouring water out or sharing our testimony. Have you ever heard somebody share their testimony? And it was like, it just built you up. It was like, whoa, that just really, my faith was strengthened. Jesus was at a well. And a woman of Samaria, and we're talking about the woman at the well, verse 7, it says, a woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if you even knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And basically she's saying, I want this living water. I want what you have. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will come in as a fountain of water springing up in everlasting life. Are we waterers? How do you water? One of the ways you water is by sharing yourself with them. I love hearing people's testimonies. I mean, it builds my faith. But for those that have no water whatsoever, your testimony builds faith in literally a dry, dry place. I can't tell you how many people I have heard that have come to the Lord through a wonderful testimony, through somebody just sharing what has happened in their life. But I don't know how to do that. Well, do you have a story? Well, yeah. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has something that God has done for them. We all do. And it's faith building. It's water on a dry and thirsty person. I used to be involved with a group called Women's Glow and for years. And we would have people come and just share a testimony. My husband was a part of the Full Gospel Businessman, which was kind of like the other half of that. And he would have men come in and share their testimonies. And it was so cool to see how the guys would be built up by hearing men's testimonies. And the ladies would just be just like, wow, I want what you have by hearing the women's testimony. It's like, how do I water? Share yourself. Just share your story. You have a history. You have a story. You have something that God has done for you. If you're still having some issues and you're not super strong, what you may feel, you still have a story that can build people up. It's like you don't have to be the one that stands up there in front of everybody. It's like, I could never do that. You can tell your story. It's easy to tell your story because it's your story. You don't have to memorize anything. Tell your story. What has Jesus done for you? Just tell them how Jesus saved you, how he came into your heart and into your life. That is water pouring out on a dry and thirsty person. We have responsibilities as King's kids to work in his fields. That is our job. He gives us a responsibility. When we come into the kingdom, when we say, yes, Lord, I want to be your kid, it isn't like, okay, now go sit in the corner and everybody else will do the job. You'll get to eat the food and you'll get to take, you get to partake, but you don't have to clean up. You don't have to take care of anything. Just go sit in the corner and you'll be okay. What kind of a family is that? What kind of a father would that be? No, the father wants you to grow and be strong. It's like, okay, I got a job for you. The first thing you're going to do is just pick up the tissue boxes. You can do that. Okay, now I'm going to let you pick up some chairs too. You can do that. Okay, now you can bring some food to help back out there, or just bring some money to help with it. Okay, you can do that. And it's like, I'm helping. I'm doing something. And that's how the Lord is inside of us. He wants us to grow. But the key is that we want to be willing. We don't want to just come and do our thing and then go back out into the world and just be a part of the world again without being a part of what God wants us to do. We are something. We do not want to be none of the above. We're A, B, C, or maybe all of the above, which would be great, but none of us are none of the above. Not if we're a king's kid doing what we're supposed to be doing. That's a waterer. Next is a feeder, a one who helps people to grow by feeding them. And I call it feeding the seed with the word. feeding the seed with the word. And in Matthew 4, it talks about where Satan was attempting to tempt Jesus. And Matthew 4, 1 says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And now when the tempter came, when he thought he was really low place, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He knew he was hungry. And then Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word strengthens. The word helps us to grow. The Lord spoke to my heart and he said, Sandy, you're a waterer and a feeder. And at first I'm going, I'm a waterer and a feeder. And it was like, I love to bring people together, like our Hope Restored, which is 27 years old this year. Bring people to a place to where they can be fed, to where they can be watered, to where, and that's, I may not be the one that's actually pouring into them, but my thing is I like to make that available. I'd administrate it, bring it together so people can. It may not be, it's like, well, I just don't know if I can feed them. Do something to get people together so they can be fed. Have a Bible study in your house and get somebody in there to do something. It isn't like, it's like, I don't know if I can do that. You can start. There is a place that you can start. You can do something. And it's like, Sandy, but you don't understand. I can't talk to people. I get that. You would never believe it, but I used to be shy. Nobody would ever believe that. I mean, my friend, after I was in high school, I met her again years later, and she wanted some sugar for her tea, and I said, excuse me, waitress, can you come over here just a sec? We need some help over here. And she goes, what did you just do? I go, well, didn't you want sugar? She goes, yeah, but you asked for it. I go, well, how the heck are we going to get it if we don't ask for it? Am I missing something here? She goes, when I knew you in high school, you would go without food before you would ask for anything. You know, but the Lord helped me to grow. When I first started teaching Sunday school, when I was in high school, I wanted to throw up on the kids. I was so afraid. But you know what? There was something inside of me that says, you want to do something for the kingdom, then do something for the kingdom. Study to show yourself approved, and then do something for the kingdom. And so I started teaching Sunday school to the little kids when I was in high school, and then in college, and then I started adults. We doing things for adults. But I started. I stepped out and I started. I didn't allow the enemy to say, you're shy, you can't do that. You're going to puke on them if you're going to say this wrong thing. You're going to sound stupid. They'll go to hell because you said the wrong thing. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. Well, the key is maybe not initially, but I stepped out in faith so that I could grow and be eventually what God wanted me to be. The key is I recognized he wanted to do something inside of me, and I said, I'm going to just do this thing. I'm going to do this thing. I don't care. I mean, I would sweat. I mean, sounds awful because I don't sweat normally, but when I get really, really nervous, it's like just, I'm like walking around like this. But it was because I was so afraid. But after a while, it became like, I can do that. I can do that. In fact, now I can teach you how to do it because I know how to do it. I can share my faith with you and I can help you to be the same as me and help you to become what I've become. Because that's what God wants us to be. Not just come and eat and gorge ourselves and go sit in the corner and let everybody else do the work. A feeder of people with the word. And Matthew 4:24-35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. If we give the word out, the word will not return void. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to get it out there. First we have to hear it, and then we've got to get it out there. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow, now that's a lot in that one little bit right there. A discerner of the thoughts and our intents. When we give the word out, that helps to strip away what really is in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our intents. For us to be able to share the word with individuals, God then has an opportunity to go in and do something in those people. But he needs us to be able to do the work. It's like he doesn't stand up in heaven and shout his word out anymore. He's done that, but now he uses us. Now we're his hands extended. We are the A, the C, or the you know, A, B, C, D, any of the above, but we have to be something. We have to be something in his kingdom. It says, when we are watering and feeding the seed, we are doing what? We're strengthening the body. One of my favorite things in the whole world is to take somebody and to lift them up. I used to love to help people that were singers find places to go sing. That was my thing. Or if you were a speaker, to find places for you to go speak. I knew a lot of people where I was, and so I would call up, hey, pastor, I've got somebody I think you're going to love. And I that was one of the things I loved to do. He gave me that desire to want to help people, to promote, to get them out so that they could do what they did. That's just a part of being a part of his body. There's so many areas that we can be or that we can do. The key is asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not just walk out and just go do our thing and it's just not me. That's not who I am. I can't tell you how many people I've come across and say, you don't understand. I don't talk well to people. I can't share my faith. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, you know what? All of us could have said that up front and in the beginning. But the bottom line is that we have learned how. We didn't just say, oh, can't do it, so we're not going to do it. We couldn't do it, but we learned how to do it. Pastor, I'm sure when you first started out, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. I mean, God pushed you out there to do it, but it was like, really, me? I mean, and that's really how it is. It's like if you just expect to do just the things that are easy, that's just not the way it works. God has us doing things that are not necessarily easy, and then he gives us the strength to do those things. The key is listen to your Father. Stop and listen to your Father. What does he have to say? Have you ever been in the car with somebody and they talk and they talk and they talk and you try and say something and you get one word out and it's like, and then they talk and they talk and they talk and then you get one word out. It's like, I have something to say. But then they talk and it's like, they don't listen. And then where you get there, it's like, so nice to talk to you. This was a great conversation. Well, we got the whole dang way there. You had the conversation and I got the listen. I have people that cuss around me sometimes that are like that. Sometimes I'm like that. Talk to Randy. Randy's more of a listener. Well, I found out he'll be more of a talker if I'll shut up. Imagine that. If I just sit quietly, he starts talking. I just thought I was the one that liked to talk so much. No, give him an opportunity. He can talk. But the thing is just knowing what to do, how to put ourselves out there, how to work inside the body. We are watering and feeding the seed. We are strengthening the body of Christ. The last one I always had in my mind was primarily, when we're talking about, the last one I had was harvesters. And I always thought the best harvesters were evangelists. Pastors are good harvesters, but oftentimes I see pastors bringing in an evangelist because they can come in and after all the seed that's been planted and the ground is ready, it's like, come now and harvest this because you got the anointing to harvest. And man, there are people that is exactly what they are. They are harvesters. And I have been in some of the best revival meetings with a harvester. A person who knows how to walk in and the presence of God walks in and all of a sudden, it's just all that's been inside of you just wants to just say, me, pick me. I want to go to Africa. It's me. I am the one. There's just something inside that and it's an anointing that they have. Pastors aren't all of the above. They can't say, I'm just this or I'm just that. When you're a pastor, you do all of the above. But it's also neat to be a harvester. Pastor said he used to be an evangelist. He was a harvester for a while. He got to go out into the church and reap what others had sown. He got to pull that up, and it was exciting. But as I was studying through this, and I literally wrote down evangelists and pastors, the harvesters. And the Lord says, whoa, stop. You are not going to get up there and tell everybody it's evangelists and pastors. And I says, yeah, I was going to throw out there that we are too. He says, no, don't just throw out there we are too. We are too. In fact, the presence of God is like just hitting me hard. We are too. We are harvesters. What does that mean? That means that we can be around individuals that love the Lord, but they just haven't quite got there. They're starting. They're starting to come in. They're just kind of barely just getting their toes up over the edge. And the Lord says, you can be that harvester. But you don't understand, Sandy. But the Lord put it upon my heart so strong this last week. We are all harvesters. Do not sell ourselves short. And remember when Satan was talking to Jesus in the wilderness? Satan has a way of coming in and whispering in our ears and saying, you are none of the above. If you hear, Sandy doesn't get it, I'm none of the above. That is not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That is the enemy of your soul speaking to you. Technically, we should be all of the above. But there are times in our lives, I'm not an all of the above. And the Lord, that he spoke to my heart right up front. It's okay, because it takes a body. It takes all of us working together to make that work. If you're an all of the above, more power to you. But at the very least, we need to strive to be the harvester. I've not harvested in a while, I'm not going to lie. It's been a while that I've actually led somebody to the Lord. I have been so busy working with the body. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, don't feel guilty. My body needs help. I have harvesters out there. Don't allow your own mind to make you feel guilty, because the enemy wouldn't make me feel guilty for that. I do that all by myself. I'm really good at making myself feel guilty at times, because it's kind of how I was raised. I was raised by, you don't want to bring me a glass of water, do you? I mean, it was always backwards. You know, you don't want to do whatever, or because it was always a negative thing. So I have to kind of fight that sometimes. But the key is we can all, and we all need to be harvesters. And it's like, I would be afraid. You can't believe, Sandy, how afraid I would be. There was a lady one time, right after we got married. So I was probably, about 20-ish? And I was sitting in a laundromat. I was living in my great-great-uncle's home. My grandma said, if you'll just live there, we'll let you live there for free. And with our jobs, that was a good thing. And so we were living in my great-great-uncle's house for free, so no one would break in. But he had built it himself, and he didn't have a washer and a dryer. They did have a little washer, but it was kind of that you rolled, you know, and my great-grandma used to use it. It's like, no, I'll go down and put some quarters in the machine and get this over with. So I was down at the laundromat, and I was sitting there, and they had all these big windows. And as I was just sitting there waiting for everything to get done, this lady and this man came up on a motorcycle. Now, she was a big motorcycle mama, tall and strong, stronger than my husband. I mean, she was big, in leathers, all black, hair, some tattoos, and she looked rough. And I'm going, ooh, wonder where she's going. Because there was a bar across the street. And going, she's probably going to the bar. And she gets off the back of this motorcycle, and she starts heading my way. And I'm not going to lie. I'm going, oh, crap. Sorry, I shouldn't say that in church, huh? Oh, bad something. And I'm going, she's coming in here, and I'm by myself. And I mean, fear instantly hit me. I'm like, what am I going to do? Just be careful. Don't say nothing weird. Don't look at her. You know, and as she got off the bike and he takes off and she's starting to cross the street, there was like it was kind of like near a corner, and this car came around this corner really fast, ran the stop sign, came around the corner just like he was being chased, and came at that lady. And when I was sitting at an angle where I could see the corner, I could see the lady, and I'm sitting there going, all of a sudden here comes that car, and that car finally sees her. And when he does, here's the lady. The car's coming like this. The car turns sideways. And it stops. And when his car stopped, she could put her hand out on the vehicle. It stopped that close. Almost took her out. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he goes, ask her where she would have gone if that car would have hit her. And I'm going, get away from me, Satan. That is not God. No, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps going, no. And so she just, you know, being the cool person that she was, she just kind of said what she said to the vehicle and the people in the vehicle, and like she's going to fight them. And I'm thinking, oh, she's coming in mad now. And she comes in and she's just and talking under her breath. And I'm just saying, just let me out of here. Just let me out of here. And the Lord says, ask her. And I'm going, I can't. I just can't, Lord. She'll hit me. I know she'll hit me. She's mad. And, you know, I left that place, and I never one time said a word to her. In fact, if I could have, I'd have left with wet clothes, but I didn't have a dryer. I mean, I wanted out of the place that bad. And when I got home, the Lord really was quiet. You'd think he would be mad at me, right? He was really quiet, and I'm just talking to him. Did you hear that? Somebody, it must have been the devil. And he was just quiet. And I thought, uh-oh, I've missed something. And for years, I let that bother me. I really let it destroy me. And a few years later, the Lord said, Sandy, she didn't go to hell because of you. You missed a blessing. Somebody else got the blessing because he had something for her to do, but I wasn't the one that got to plant the seed. And I was like, that did something to the inside of me. It helped me to understand there are times in your life the Lord's going to say, do this. And you're going to say, they'll kill me. They'll just shoot me now because they're probably just going to kill me. And Lord, but if the Lord tells us to do it, does it matter? If we get shot in the middle of, you know, or get yelled at or told off or whatever, does it matter? If God tells us to do something, we have to step out and do it. We have to listen to his word. And the key is to be able to know his voice from the difference between his voice and the enemy's voice. We have to know his voice. To be a harvester, we have to be his disciple. We have to be someone who loves the Lord, knows the word. You have to be able to know the word. If they ask you a question, you got to be able to answer the question. We need to know him. And as we get to know him more and more, he will help us to be literally the harvester that he wants us to be. Matthew 9:37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If we're going to pray that, then we need to pray, Lord, send me too. Because I don't want to just pray, Lord, send somebody else. If I'm really going to pray that, then I'm going to say, Lord, help me to be all that I can be. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps, hear this, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. That both he who sows, now he's making a distinction, both he who sows and he who reaps, just like I said, Lord said, Sandy, you don't have to be all of the above, but you got to be at least one of the above. For both he that sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this saying it's true, one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored. And you have entered into their labors, and now you are reaping what they have sown. God, let me be that one that can prepare the soil. Let me be that one that can maybe plant. God, let me be that one that can water and can feed your kids. And God, of all things, let me be a harvester. Let me be one that can see. I have had the wonderful opportunity of leading people to Christ. When I was a Sunday school teacher, when I would lead a young person to Christ, I always had them write their name in my Bible, and I put the date. And I said, now here's the deal. If you ever wonder if you were saved, come see me. If the devil or Jesus has erased your name out of my Bible, then something's wrong. We got a problem. We better start all over again. But if your name is still in my Bible, sweetie, you're still saved. But we need to talk about where you are today. That's what I want to be able to say for you. What does the Lord want you to do? The key is ask him. Don't just assume, I think I'll be this. You know what? The best thing you can do is go before him and say, okay, God, here I am, just who I am, all that I am. What do you want me to be? What kind of farmer? What farmer's job do you want me to be? I can be this, I can be that, I think I could do this. Don't tell him what you can do. Ask him what he wants you to do. Don't go into the conversation with, this is what I'm planning to do, God, just make it happen. Make it so. Lord says, come to me and I'll prepare your heart. I'll help you to know what to do. We just can't come to church and listen and be fed and then go home and take care of our little family and then come back to church and listen and be fed. We're just going to be gluttons. We're just going to be great big fat babies that don't really do much of anything than just be a big fat baby. We're still Christ, but he wants us to do something for him, to do something in his kingdom. He wants us to be a part of his working body. Somebody that eventually when we get up to heaven, he can say, well done, Sandy. I'm so proud of you. Man, I tell you, honest to goodness, that's what I want from my dad. When I stand before my Heavenly Father, I'm going to be just going, please say you're proud of me. Just please, please, please. Because I want him to. He's my dad. I want to be able to have done some stuff that he'd say, good job. I am so proud of you. I taught one time here about the wood, hay, and the stubble. And maybe sometime I'll do that again. But I would never want to stand before the king and have him say, you brought nothing to me. You're here. And there's weeping because you didn't bring anything. But I want to be able where he reaches down and picks up gold and pearls and gemstones. And it's the people. It's the people that I have been able to touch. The people that have been able to hear the word because we had a meeting. The people that came to the body of Christ and were able to help others because of what we've done. That's my challenge to you today. What can you be? What kind of a laborer can you be? What kind of a farmer can you be? You know, it's exciting to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part and see things happen, to see people's lives change. It is so exciting. But the key is you got to jump out into the middle of it and be a part of it to be able to see it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Father God, you have put things in our hearts. Father, I know you're stirring things up in our very beings. And Father, I pray that as this week comes around, today specifically, Father, as we come before you in a quiet time, sometime in this next 24-hour window, and just spend some time before you and say, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to start? How do you want me to start? Prepare me. And Lord, help us when the enemy comes in like a flood and just starts saying, that's not you, she's not talking about you. Lord, help us to recognize this morning, Father, you were talking to every single one of us, myself specifically, Father God. What can you do inside of us that can help the kingdom, that can bring more people to the kingdom, that could build up the kingdom, that could build up the body, that can strengthen the body? Father God, there are those in the body that are hurting. Father God, what can we do to help the body? Father, we can be that hospital that we're supposed to be, Father God, if you could just take us by the hand and show us, and we listen, and then we learn, and then we obey. Thank you, Father, for this morning, and we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.